The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back. I wanted to begin this segment in advance of bringing on our guest, Professor Daniel Mahoney from Assumption College. Something that President Trump said towards the end of his speech at Mount Rushmore over the Independence Day weekend, when he invoked Dr. Martin Luther King and a note of unity, national unity.
In the face of lies meant to divide us, demoralize us, and diminish us, we will show that the story of America unites us, inspires us, includes us all, and makes everyone free. We must demand that our children are taught once again to see America as did Reverend Martin Luther King when he said that the founders had signed a promissory note to every future generation. Dr. King saw that the mission of justice required us to fully embrace our founding ideals, those ideals.
Reverend King was a builder, and what we have today, those who lie and attempt to demoralize, as President Trump said, those who demand we kneel before them rather than before God, what we have there are destroyers, which prompted my invitation to Professor Mahoney to come on because he wrote an excellent piece on this very topic about the real culture of hate in America. Daniel Mahoney holds the Augustine Chair in Distinguished Studies at Assumption College. He is the author most recently of The Idol of Our Age, How the Religion of Humanity Subverts Christianity. Professor Mahoney, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
President Trump's words there about Reverend King building upon the progress that had been made from the country's founding to the civil rights movement in the 60s, building to a better nation. And what do we have today in contrast? Even those who invoke Reverend King's legacy, it seems to me we have the opposite conduct.
I think we have pure nihilism, a project to destroy. Roger Scruton, the great British conservative philosopher, called it a culture of repudiation, to repudiate everything in our heritage. Not only the great progress we've made on race relations and in bringing about what Lincoln called the new birth of freedom that would bring all Americans into the national community in a more full and complete way, but we're rejecting the principles that allow us to move forward with that project. So, you know, Martin Luther King, Frederick Douglass, Booker T. Washington, great black leaders over the course of over a century, all affirmed the truth of American principles. They did not believe, rightly, that the words all men are created equal just referred to white men of English descent. And the historical record makes very clear all the founding fathers believed slavery was wrong. They didn't know how to get rid of it right away, but they believed it was wrong. This was an argument Frederick Douglass made when he said the Constitution was in no fundamental respects a pro-slavery constitution. It's an argument Lincoln made. And so when Martin Luther King spoke on the Mall on the 100th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address, he begins 50 years ago invoking Lincoln, and he quite rightly called the Declaration of Independence a promissory note, meaning the principles were 100% to be affirmed, but America hadn't delivered on them or delivered on them nearly fully enough for black Americans, and that was the work ahead of us to bring about that new birth of freedom. But when you reject, remember these were colorblind principles. Martin Luther King said he wanted his children to be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. But the radicals in Antifa, BLM, etc., the movement, not the slogan, they are fully committed to judging people only by the color of their skin. And that's a kind of racism, and it's a kind of destructive racism. So the president was absolutely right. It was a patriotic speech. It was a principled speech. It was an anti-racist speech, and the press coverage was beyond lamentable, you know, turning it into a dog whistle for the KKK. I mean, I've never seen such egregious distortions.
Well, the combination of that suggestion and that President Trump somehow is spoiling for a culture war rather than responding to the one that has been brought to his front door.
Well, the idea that he's starting a culture war, when Frederick Douglass gets toppled, as he did 2 days ago in Rochester,
right,
when abolitionists and Quakers get toppled, when Abraham Lincoln, who Frederick Douglass rightly said loathed slavery, when he gets toppled, when Juniper Serra, the great saint, who spoke up unequivocally for the dignity of Indians, when St. Louis, the greatest French Catholic king, was rightly a saint, gets attacked by ignorant mobs and radical Maoist leaders. This isn't a culture war. This is a cultural revolution.
Let's hold it there. When we come back, I want to pick this up and also fold in any responsibility conservatives have for where we are at this point in time in 2020 America, in the West in 2020, really. Daniel Mahoney is the Augustine Chair in Distinguished Studies at Assumption College. He's the author of The Idol of Our Age, How the Religion of Humanity Subverts Christianity. We'll be back with more right after this.
Grab a good seat and sharpen your pencils. Class is in session with Professor Dan Proft and The Dan Proft Show.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Professor Daniel Mahoney, who holds the Augustine Chair in Distinguished Studies at Assumption College. He's the author, most recently, of The Idol of Our Age, How the Religion of Humanity Subverts Christianity. And Professor Mahoney, just picking up what we were discussing before the break about this culture of nihilism that currently afflicts America, what then is the response other than the rejection of it? What would you say to somebody who says, I reject the things that you're describing, the things that you've written about, so how do I respond productively? What is the path forward that I present?
I must say, until several days ago, the response coming from not just the conservative side, but the non-nihilistic side, the side that wants to preserve our civilization and our republic, has been frankly pusillanimous.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people have been appeasing the mob. Too many people, the media refuses to call events for what they are. The coverage is lamentable. Too many conservatives have been quiet, hoping this will all go away. I think we need troops around all the monuments in the country to protect our national patrimony. I think we need civic leaders, church leaders, conservative leaders denouncing nihilistic and proto-totalitarian organizations. We have to stop pretending that the BLM leadership stands for the brotherhood of man under the fatherhood of God. They're Maoist, they're Marxist, they hate the family, they hate Christian civilization, they hate America. They're committed simply to a culture of destruction, and they don't give a damn about most black lives. They want to demagogue a few isolated incidents when unarmed blacks are killed by the police. Unarmed whites are sometimes killed by police, but it gets no coverage. And they are completely silent about the mayhem in the cities. This weekend, so many children in major cities were shot in black-on-black violence. We have a huge increase, the Ferguson effect on steroids going on in New York and Baltimore and Chicago and in Los Angeles. You know, just a tremendous increase in violence and mayhem. And so we need to call things by their name. We need law enforcement. We need to protect the national patrimony. And we need to stop. It's almost as if people are living in an alternative universe. The idea that we live in a country marked by systematic racism, where the police everywhere are gunning down blacks on purpose, is absurd and obscene. And that narrative is now fueling demands to defund and abolish the police, which will only lead to many vulnerable, poor people, many people of color, dying.
But here's the problem, as you most certainly recognize, is that when somebody comes to a position not from logic, it's difficult to dislodge them from that position with logic. It's very much like talking about some aspects of the pandemic. There is just no amount of data and evidence, no amount of science that is going to move people who've adopted certain dogma about a particular issue.
Well, I'm not particularly interested in persuading the woke who... There's a kind of ideological contagion or virus now where otherwise reasonable people have been won over by fanaticism.
Right.
Fundamentally mendacious account of our history and our principles. We're not going to convince most of them right now, but there's a lot of people of goodwill, normally sane people, who just haven't been. They don't know the truth about the BLM movement. They don't really know the extent of the cultural desecration. They don't. One of the wonderful things about the president's Mount Rushmore address is that he actually provided a civic education.
Mm-hmm.
He told Americans why those four men on Mount Rushmore are on Mount Rushmore. He explained that our principles are the ground for opposing racism and earlier opposing slavery, that our country was not born on pro-slavery principles, contrary to legend. I'll give you a quick example. You know, for the Constitution, the three-fifths clause. I don't know how many times I've heard professors and journalists say the founders thought blacks were three-fifths of a human being. But in fact, the Southern slave owners wanted to count blacks in the South as one person for reasons of representation because they wanted more pro-slavery elements in Congress.
Right.
And it was the anti-slave forces in the North and some in the South who opposed slavery who wanted to count slaves for three-fifths of representation, not because they denied their humanity, because they didn't want the slave owners to be able to distort the Constitution. So that kind of, we can educate people. We can break through this conspiracy of lies. And that, it's not going to convince everyone. 30% of the American people are going to hold to this ideological nihilism, regardless of what we do. But right now, people of goodwill are at a loss. You know, they just don't know what to believe, and they're not. A lot of them are not hearing the truth. So, I think some courage, some reason, can make a difference where it matters.
I appreciate what you have to say about the Jacobins, and that seems, you know, that's makes a lot of sense. And by the way, the three-fifths example that you use, that is one of the most misunderstood aspects of our history, particularly as anything relating to slavery. And it is remarkable how few people understand the actual dynamic at play there.
I heard Senator Rubio make that mistake the other day in a talk, and he's a good man, but he, you know, why are people repeating these falsehoods? These things ought to be known because, you know, what are people learning in high schools? They're reading Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States. That's
right.
The book that started the false legend about Columbus. Columbus wasn't guilty of genocide, but every conservative politician in the country thinks he was. And that's why they're proposing the elimination of Columbus Day. It's rank ignorance.
When we come back with Professor Mahoney, I want to stay centered on conservatism and recount a conversation I had with an Orthodox Christian friend of mine who worked for Touchstone Magazine, about whether or not conservatism has done more harm than good. More with Professor Daniel J. Mahoney from Assumption College when we return.
The more you'll know. This is the Dan Proft Show.
We're back with Professor Daniel Mahoney. I want to relay a conversation I had with an Orthodox Christian friend of mine who worked for Touchstone Magazine. And he was reflecting on conservatism And he basically argued that conservatism potentially has done more harm than good in the sense that it gave men a way to not be liberal while still not having any obligation to Christ. And he argued that without conservatism to fall back on, men might have had to turn to Scripture for an explanation of all the nonsense. And without Christ, conservatism is just a name for the pace at which liberalism will be imposed. How do you respond to that contention?
Well, there's something to that. There are some soi-disant, as the French say, so-called liberal conservatives who really, you know, they're against gay marriage for an hour or two, but then when it's imposed, you know, you're a homophobe if you oppose it.
Right.
And we see this with transgenderism now, and they're faux conservatives. Look, we got to take what we can, and there are secular conservatives, and there are, frankly, Christian conservatives who are not particularly zealous, but who nonetheless, whose conservatism is broadly based on the moral principles of the tradition, the Bible, classical wisdom, and not everyone is going to put their Christian commitment first in their public commitment. So, I think on the whole, the conservative movement has been we got to work with it because it's the only movement out there politically that is defending the West or defending America. But I agree broadly that conservatism needs a transcendental support, and that means something more than a slow motion accommodation to what's going on or to the zeitgeist and that. So I think your friend, I love Touchstone, by the way, I subscribe. I think he's right, but I also would say he's a bit hard because, you know, any coalition is going to include a lot of different people. And while some of us will make our Christian affirmation more front and center, other decent people, you know, will defend the same things on, you know, with a somewhat different mix of emphases. But, yeah, I mean, if our civilization ever loses an explicit identification with the sovereignty of God or the moral law, the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, we're finished. It can't just be, you know, we're the Me Too party going a little more slowly than the left because who needs that? It's not it's not going to help the common cause of saving and revitalizing our political order or our civilization.
He is Professor Daniel J. Mahoney. He holds the Augustine Chair in Distinguished Studies at Assumption College, the author most recently of The Idol of Our Age, How the Religion of Humanity Subverts Christianity. Professor Mahoney, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
It was a great, great pleasure. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Fake news. He's always got the real story. This is the Dan Proft Show.
You are fake news.